Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 173, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. I kind of paused there because I can't believe season 173. Holy shit.
Put it down. Put the mic down.
Yeah, we're going to walk away. 173 feels like, you know.
Good number.
What we've always been working towards.
Right, right.
Nice round number. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Wednesday, February 24th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Good Googly Moogly Miles' calves are juicy. Good Googly Moogly Jack's thighs are pasty. That is courtesy of Ginger W. And I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
This is for all the deregulators out there. We're coming for you. Regulators! Hit my button real quick. Okay. It was a cool black night. It snowed too soon. Teddy C was on the streets, flying to Cancun. A break for the kids. Trying to be a good dad, just flying on the slide, slinging back home. Just hit the wrong side of the FERC. On a mission trying to side billionaires. G, seen electricity bills, no need to tweet. All you simps gonna pay times 213. Thank you to Bottles and Fans on
that
Discord.
Times 213.
Yeah, bro, your bill will be times 213.
Surge pricing. Exactly. Times 213.
That's never good. Rest in peace to Nate Dogg. Forgot about. Oh, Nate, loved you.
Oh man, what a some of the all time great vocal performances. Yeah. And also singing in a way that, and this has nothing to do with your performance just then, because that was beautiful, uh-huh. But like that makes people who can't sing like feel like they can sing along.
That's
like amazing. I always felt like I could sing along, and
I think because his range isn't, you know, he's not 213.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's just 213.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like
right
it's,
in the
it's
same
accessible.
Range.
Yeah.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a first-time guest here on TDZ. Yeah. He is the brilliant, the talented. You may know him from Behind the Bastards. He is Mr. Garrison Davis!
Ooh. Hi. I'm not I'm the person who's not gonna sing.
Oh,
because out of like the three talents I have, music is not one of them.
What are the three that you would consider if you're a superhero, your abilities?
Standing in absurd amounts of chemical weapons, holding a camera steadily, doing a whole bunch of research into Nazis without getting like super depressed. Still pretty depressed, but not depressed to the point where I can't function.
Right. And just enough to keep the work going, exactly, like a hero would.
Yeah, and then I guess my last talent would be climbing and jumping and stuff. I don't know. Parkour.
Climbing and jumping.
Parkour?
Yeah, I was actually a parkour instructor for like a few years before I started doing whatever I do now.
Right.
Reporting on extremism.
Yeah.
Went from extreme sports to reporting on extremism.
You beat me to it, Miles.
Yep. Sorry. Great minds in that.
So I think we can just say this dude is extreme.
Yeah, that's what we know.
One way or
another.
Thanks, yeah.
Garrison, you're also young to the point that you had never heard, that was the first time you had heard Regulators or anything of...
Yeah, I am...
G-Funk era. Are you familiar with the G-Funk era?
No.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm a capital Z Zoomer.
Hey.
Zoomer. Cool. Well,
wait, do you hate us?
Nah. No, okay. all my friends are people in their 30s.
I know. Like, I see the people you run with. I'm like, nah, he can't be. He's probably cool.
All right, Garrison, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about today. We are going to continue with our ongoing coverage of the Texas fuckery off the charts. Right now, companies are not being cool to their employees, shockingly.
What?
In the Lone Star State. Yeah. Huh. We're going to talk about Rudy Giuliani's the chase film that he's been starring in for the past few days. Slow-mo chase film. We'll talk about the 500,000 lives that have been lost due to the COVID pandemic and how there is an equal distribution across racial and ethnic groups and why that is. And we'll talk about Joe Biden. Just a little update with Joe, where he's at with the wealth tax, with releasing children from cages. I watched I Care a Lot. Wanted to check in with that. That's like the number one thing on Netflix right now. I want to talk about the next great film franchise, Blade Force, based on just a news video someone tweeted to us about some rollerblade cops in
I saw that and I was very happy.
So cool. And we will also talk about the Jeep Cherokee and why they should retire that name. All of that, plenty more, but first, Garrison, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Let's see. The most recent thing from my search history is San Francisco homelessness robot, because today I saw on Twitter the Boston Dynamics dog robot being used by the NYPD. Not great. And I wanted to see how long San Francisco has been using their homelessness robots, the robots that like just go around and attack homeless people sleeping. It's since like I was doing it for a tweet. Anyway, it's since 2017. So going on, I guess, 4 years now. Oh my god.
So yeah. San Francisco on the cutting edge of brutalizing the unhoused technologies.
Using robots to attack marginalized people and people who need help. Yeah. So
I'm not really familiar with, well, first of all, so the NYPD is using that terrifying dog robot.
Yes. Yeah.
How in what way?
I mean, they claim it's for like going into houses where there's like an armed suspect, but we'll see how it gets used. I mean, it's very could very easily be an efficient like surveillance tool. It could be used for a lot of things. That's just the thing that NYPD is saying they're going to use it for. So we'll see.
Right.
It's pretty new.
they're pivoting away from like military, like straight up military technology because the optics are bad. And like, what about like fucking expensive ass robots that are scary shit?
It's like 70.
They keep hitting us with the like cooler. Militarized police shit. What about like future fun dog police?
It's like almost $100,000 for the robot.
Right. And you think about those robots, right? It's like how much are you spending on the robots and the maintenance? And you couldn't just put that towards.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever.
And you have to pay someone to operate it. You have to have some people to like take care of it, manage it. All those people are getting paid for something where
you have to feed it orphans. I think that's what it.
That is with the Boston Dynamics robots. Yeah. That is. That's the one caveat.
Like, what possible use that's like altruistic could there be for a dog-shaped robot that like. You can't knock over. Like, that's like the cool thing about it is like, man, try and kick this thing over. You can't knock it over. It'll it just keeps coming, bro.
I guess therapy uses.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, therapeutic. They should just give it like a smoochy like face from The Simpsons. Or
I mean, even like reading like the handholdy like local news, like let's just give the PD a BJ with how cool this robot is reporting. It's not even like doing real, like it's not saying anything real dog or human couldn't do. It's like this is a quote. This dog is going to save lives, protect people, and protect officers, and that's our goal. Okay. Uh-huh. Thank you. His name is Frank DiGiacomo, but Digi is in there, so it feels futuristic.
That sucks.
And then they said this robot is able to use its artificial intelligence to navigate things, very complex environments.
Like a brain could.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And what else? It's covered with cameras and lights, which allows police to get a real time look at things, even in darkness. It's like playing a video game.
Oh, goody.
Again, night vision, flashlights. What are you doing here?
I have a thermal camera that I got for reasons.
Right.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
So did I when I was a kid. You won't remember this, but there's a thing called spy tech.
I had spy tech in the early 2000s.
Oh, so they brought it back around? Okay, I'm glad.
It's still been going strong, honestly.
Intergenerational unity.
Yeah,
over spy tech.
It can unite the millennials and the zoomers. We can
have they improved
over spy tech.
It? Like,
no,
improved?
They haven't.
Because I remember
I thought it looked cooler.
When I was a kid, spy tech was like.
It's still bullshit. I remember everybody wanted like the heat seeker radar thing that was like straight up like Predator type shit where you can go, oh, there's heat over there. I remember fucking my parents got me like the fingerprint invisible ink with the light kit, and I'm like, yo, this shit is bullshit, bro. Yep. And I'm just writing like fuck you on the wall and then just like using the light to be like,
that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just, I mean, this kind of ties into what you were saying earlier about your skill set of being able to stand, chemical weapons in vast amounts of chemical weapons because the police forces were, the ones who were using those against you.
Yes. Yeah. Mix of, I guess it was mostly DHS and the Portland Police Bureau.
Right.
Yeah, last summer. I mean, also a whole bunch of Proud Boys used an absurd amount of mace last year. One day in August, where I was burning for days after that. Yeah, real fun.
Yeah, and then
oof.
That was the day a Proud Boy broke Robert Evans' hand. Same day.
Oh wow!
Just another Sunday, Saturday, whatever it was.
I just learned the origin of the Proud Boy name, which is...
Oh, the Aladdin thing?
The Aladdin thing.
Yeah, yeah. Real dumb.
Yeah. Did you know this, Miles? That it's based on... So there was a useless plot in the original Aladdin script that was like Aladdin's mom, and she was just like... You know, not useful for dramatic purposes. And she had a couple songs that were cut from the film. One of them was about how she was proud of her son. And the Proud Boys seized on that, like the men's rights movement seized on that as like their thing. Like, what? You can't be proud of a boy anymore. And that's where we got Proud Boys from.
Yeah, very adult like thinking by co-opting distressed Disney IP to like give your origin story to your fucking hate group.
That's
really savvy. Put your head in the books, man. Crack those books open and learn about some shit, man.
Yeah. What is something, Garrison, that you think is underrated?
Okay, this is something I get bullied a lot for. I'm going to say instrumental music. That's what I'm going to say. Because, I don't know, ever since I was a little kid, I could not listen to music with lyrics and have the lyrics make any sense. It would all just kind of turn it. It would all just sound like music to me.
Rather than hearing like lyrics?
Yeah, I don't hear lyrics. I just hear like other instruments, essentially. So, and basically I listened to instrumental music because it's more interesting because it has, I don't know, I think there's more thought into the actual sound of it because I just can't enjoy lyrics. It takes too much focus out of my brain to like try to understand what people are saying. So all my Spotify stuff is all like a mix of electronic and old timey instrumental stuff, and all my friends bully me for it.
I love instrumental music. It's the perfect texture, like sonically, I think.
Yeah.
Because to your point, like there's a thing I've noticed, because as I play like more music just sort of ambiently during the like throughout the day, when I play songs that have like lyrics and like songs that I really like, it's a distraction. Cause like suddenly I'm like trying to think, and then I start singing like a guitar solo out loud because I'm like, oh yeah, that part. Versus like instrumental music, I can very much be like, yep, there it is. I know it's there. I like it. It's giving me joy, but it's not distracting me too much with like taking too much of my attention.
Mm. And by old timey instrumental music, you mean like from the 80s? Yeah, late 90s.
No, I mean everything from, I have stuff from like, I don't know, I have old like Union songs with the lyrics stripped that have been like remixed and stuff.
Like a nice fiddle in the background.
Yeah, you know, the mix of that, I don't know, some like remixed jazz.
What do your friends tell you should be listening to?
I know all my because I'm in Portland, everyone listens to like folk punk and stuff. So, you know, everyone's all the folk punk.
Yeah, you're good, man.
I mean, it's fine, but I'm never going to go out of my way to listen to it.
Well, it's also aggressive, like when you try to be like, "Oh, you listening to that?" I mean, like, look, we're going to listen what the fuck we need to get through this shit, okay?
Thank you. What is something you think is overrated, Garrison?
Robots, Jesus Christ.
Robots.
Everyone's
Jesus
like,
Christ.
"Oh, robots are so fun." I'm like, no, they've done like nothing good ever. They've only been bad.
Yeah, I think all it's done is the best thing people can say robots have done is like it's helped people make more money faster.
That's basically. Yeah.
And yes, there's like off medical applications, but I think like overall, I think those robotics things, I think of just like the factory lines and like how much more you can crank out with robots and things like that. But
and
also
how it's making,
freaks me out.
Making the environment worse. Once we start giving robots guns, that's going to suck. They're all bad. I don't think anything really good's going to come of robots, but people still like them because Star Wars, I guess. I don't know. I like Star Wars, and of course I like R2-D2, but I don't. I'm terrified
of
robots
that,
with guns.
Like anti-homeless robot is kind of like R2-D2 shaped.
It's
egg thing, and you're
so sad.
Co-opt his beautiful form for your evil.
It sucks because like the robot just goes around and like pokes people. It sucks.
Right. Shoos them away.
It's the worst, and you can get in a lot of trouble for breaking it. Oh, it sucks. Terrible.
What other robots are like being used? I guess there's, like you were saying, the factory floor robots.
Factory robots. I mean, you can, you know, think of like a computer flown like drones and stuff for surveillance, for dropping bombs. I don't know, just like robots in general. Just I can't think of very many good ones.
They need a PR campaign. Like to write the ship for them, because like, yeah, you could cut together a bunch of horrific robot videos, but like, where's the one you're like, "Oh, robot," or you're like, "You know what? That robot did good."
Well, in the Star Wars universe, robots are like a thing that people who are, you know, lower class or like farm laborers like work with and like sell parts for, and
they're basically,
you know, Luke Skywalker
slaves in Star Wars.
Yeah, and they're basically slaves and like treated like absolute shit. But in reality, they are a tool of, like, you have to be a massive corporation to create, or the military to create a robot. It's not like people are just like picking up robot parts and building their own robots.
Well, I did have that one Lego kit back in
the day.
I mean, I technically made a robot, so.
Yeah, but that's like a fantasy of Hollywood, that like robots are just like a a thing that we can all just like
mess around with. To feel bad about.
Right.
I think is right. what the aim is of robots. You know what I mean? Like how they're
real steel.
Like, used.
Right. That Hugh Jackman movie where like the robots are like hang out in junkyards and like they pick up little pieces from
Wait, they were sentient in that movie?
No. That's just like where you find them. They're not sentient.
I thought like there was a bunch of robots kicking in a junkyard, like smoking cigarettes, like throwing dice or something. But no. They're just on shutdown mode.
Right. Wally also.
Wally also, yeah.
One of the great robots, but yeah, Wally's not rolling through that door.
I mean, and Wally's existence is an example of how messed up everything is, a whole robot basically making cities out of trash because we've wrecked the Earth. So
Yeah,
it's not a. We don't want to have a Wally robot. If we have a Wally robot, we're already in a lot of trouble.
Fucked up.
Yeah, we're pretty fucked up.
Oh, but he's so cute.
He is.
Maybe it's
cute.
Worth it. I don't know. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, let's check in with the most recent crisis that is revealing the threadbare social fabric that is crumbling all around us, and that is the Texas storm, the Texas freeze.
Yeah. It's like you're saying, it's like COVID. in that this is now just highlighting all the failings of capitalism and like the free market, baby, that now when something goes wrong, people are left to fend for themselves. There's no support. And they're like, oh, that, well, that's your problem. Case in point now, this latest story that I was reading in the Daily Beast is talking about how many workers who have been stranded or like without internet or power to whether like it's to commute or telecommute, whatever, to their jobs. You know, they're having issues getting to work, doing work to get their wages. And the employers, you know, they are, you know, they understand that these are historically fucked times in the state of Texas.
Well, their commercials at the beginning of COVID told us they did. They said, exactly. in these historic times.
And they're saying in these times, if you are unable to go to work or work remotely due to loss of electricity during last week's destructive winter storm, you must consider those lost days as vacation. Otherwise, you will go without pay.
Fun.
That's a policy that a lot of people are like have been sending emails. It seems to be like in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So there's Bell Textron, which is like a formerly Bell Helicopter, United Ag and Turf. The city of Dallas also was sending these very similar emails about saying like, hey, y'all, we get it. If you know you can't work, maybe just call that a vacation. And then that's how we'll avoid losing money here.
Go to Cancun.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is amazing that they're like, that's your vacation. Meanwhile, Ted Cruz is taking an actual vacation.
Yeah. Or the AG like fucked off to Utah too. Like the second it hit.
Oh, really? You know, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm. He needs a break. I mean, it's hard robbing the society that you're supposed to watch over, Blend.
Yeah.
I do have to say, I do appreciate the move from Bell Helicopter to Bell Textron, because they're at least
Jesus
telling
Christ.
Us, like, they're at least being like, oh shit, we're more evil than like a Bell Helicopter. Can we go?
Cyberpunk tried to warn us. It tried with robots, with all this stuff. They tried, and everyone's like, oh, neon lights, that's cool. Totally missed the point.
Right.
Everything's big in Textron. Welcome. You're like,
amazing.
Yeah, a lot of explanations that like these companies were giving were never like, oh man, we need to take a look at that. We didn't realize that was happening. It was like the biggest one seemed to be like, well, like we contract with the government a lot of times. So like you got to talk to them whether or not we can bill them for like emergency pay. So like that's kind of like what the fucking deal is going on here. And other companies said, oh, I mean, yes, they could do that. And oh, but I mean, not to say like if they don't have vacation time, obviously they'll have to do what they can. They can just borrow against their future paid time off.
Oh, well,
that's
cool.
Like nobody actually was like, whoop, you caught us. That's a bad look. And we're doing it right. It was just all this like bureaucratic hot potato. Like, well, talk to HR, talk to the federal government. I don't know. What do you want me to say? But I think the biggest thing is that like in Texas, there's just no requirement for people to pay any vacation time.
Right.
So like there's just no safety net for people in any sense. And so, again, this means that like so it's an employer by employer decision that's being made to be cruel.
What like a it's such a quintessential American experience, just like distilled into its purest form. All of these problems that Texas is dealing with, because Texas is like the most American state. Right.
Right.
And all these things are just like such a great example of how everything is set up to fail regular people.
Right. Right. Like imagine the freeze, but it's nationwide in whatever form that comes to.
I mean, yeah,
it's
like
going to be a fucking disaster because again, like Texas is like a microcosm, I don't know, maybe macro, it's so big of like runaway deregulation for decades and then like patting themselves on the back because they have cheap power or whatever. And just because things are stable, but the second you introduce in any element of chaos or instability, the shit just completely breaks apart and it's just leaving behind just blood and death.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even just Texas. Like, at the same time this was all happening in Texas, most of Portland's power shut off during an ice storm as well. I mean, all of my friends were without power for, like, days and days. I was lucky enough to have power based on the part of the city I'm in. I had to have people had to come over to my place to get, you know, power and stuff and to like, keep warm. We had, like, a whole grocery store collapse. Like, literally, like, the roof collapsed because of all the snow buildup, because the buildings were built cheaply because people didn't plan on this type of weather, right? So this, it's all stuff like, you know, this type of, you know, extreme climate conditions are only going to get worse. We're going to have more of these things happening, right? Because this isn't the first time something this has happened in Texas. It's not going to be the last time, and it's going to happen across
more frequent
the country. It's going to be more frequent. It's going to be more extreme, right?
Yeah.
It's like I was looking at the video from it was a Safeway outside of Portland that just completely collapsed, and it's like, yeah, that's like what you see in movies. It's just like the buildings just collapsed because of all the ice.
Based on your conversations with them, did your friends enjoy their vacation from electricity, though?
No.
Was it enjoyable?
Mostly not. Most of these friends are like kind of anti-technology, but like in a way that they still use technology. So no, not really.
Right.
They'll like meme about it, but they were like cold.
Right.
And that sucks.
That Facebook post that we got from that mayor early on.
Oh, God.
Like, he just said the
American
truth.
Shit.
He said the quiet part out loud. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all you need to know about.
I think it's like, I wish the news could report. You never see like MSNBC be like, is he telling a lie though?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Or CNN, just because like that's real. That's real. You could, if you're in the fucking mainstream media, you could say, let's keep it to Virgil's real quick. The sentiments expressed by that person is exactly what we see play out at every level when we're talking about people in need in this country. So yes, while to say these things is deplorable for a leader, we also have this culture inbuilt in our country. And actually, we need to confront that more than acting like these like random blemishes pop up in our fucking media landscape. Like, oh, here's somebody saying this weird thing that we all know to be true.
Right.
Rather than accepting that, like, this is really the really insidious part about our culture, and that we need to figure out how to, you know, have a reconciliation with that, a reckoning with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's easier to just be like, oh, can you believe that guy? While pretending like this isn't how all the shit is everywhere.
They should have given him a show so we just like always know what, you know, he did a perfect job of expressing how Texas was going to treat people ahead of time.
Just, but he just did it in the way that like people, like shitty people agree with. So he wanted to be a little more objective. He's like, look, what I'm saying is, if you look at the budgets, the way the regulations are built, we're clearly not incentivizing or even making it a priority to treat people humanely. That's all I'm saying, right? Here's the receipts, y'all.
Right. Give him a translator who like puts.
But
his...
at the end of the day, it's just jarring because you see those videos of people living in just the horrifying conditions, and you still have people with the gall to go on TV and, you know, point fingers in every direction but the ones they need to be.
Yeah. All right. This next story might be the one good use of the Boston robot. The Boston, is it Dynamics robot?
Yeah.
And that is to serve Rudy his papers. This dude is facing a $1.3 billion lawsuit from the Dominion Voting Systems, and he is, it's like Running Man. He's just out here treating New York like, you know, one big game of hide and seek from the people trying to serve him his papers.
Think of that one point. I mean, look, Jack, if you knew somebody was trying to hit you with a $1.3 billion, I would fucking dig underground, fool. I don't even know what the fuck y'all talking about. I think I'm dead, actually. But yeah, it's obviously because he had the starring role in The Big Lie, starring Rudy Giuliani, a Donald Trump joint. And, you know, the funny thing was he knew that it was the end. You know, like he knew The Big Lie was up. Dominion is like, we told you to keep fucking around and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And they said, okay, again, with Mike Lindell, you fuck around, then you have go into the find out phase. Rudy was beginning to find out. So he's running. They first tried to serve it to him over email and he wouldn't respond. And then they're like, you know, he had numerous times to even decline email service, say that he wants it in person, but he was just acting like, oh, no, I didn't get that. Like, you know, what some people do with bills and things like that. And then it turns into people chasing him across like the building he was in. I'm just going to read this like little bit from the Daily News. It said February 7th. Giuliani hopped into the passenger seat of an SUV and tried to quickly close the SUV door as a process server lunged forward with a bag full of documents that got lodged between the door. Rudy says, quote, this is not the way it's supposed to be done. You should have gone to my office. according to the account. A driver for Giuliani and the doorman pulled the bag of papers free from the SUV door so that Giuliani could close it, and the process server placed the bag in front of Giuliani's building, which the doorman had locked, because apparently his doorman was helping him out and kept locking the door behind Rudy whenever he would come in the building.
Oh, that's
and
so
the doorman
funny.
Would only let in people he knew. So, like, he had the homie hook it up by the door. And then, so when he put the papers down, the process server said, these documents now belong to Giuliani. But, the story goes on, the process server then saw a maintenance worker toss the documents into a street trash can. And then when the person went in, there's like, oh my God, is that really the shit? It was the actual fucking documents. And then
just
later
threw
on.
Threw it in a trash can on the street in New York.
They said then it continued for 2 more days. Not to mention before this, they were trying to find him. It went for 2 days trying to go to his apartment, trying to go to his office, wherever the fuck they thought he would be. He was ducking them. And then finally, like an assistant at his office came out and like accepted it. And, you know.
Is this a sound legal strategy? I got to ask you guys. I'm not familiar with. I'm
no
legal expert.
I'm no legal expert.
but just avoiding getting the lawsuit? Is that has anybody ever succeeded long-term in that?
I know a little bit about this because there was this a few years ago I was looking into this this Nazi. I get shocker. people were trying to sue because he was Nazi and he did like Nazi violent stuff. Anyway, they couldn't sue him because he kind of fell off the grid and people couldn't find where to serve papers. So like it was this whole like investigation into figuring out where he is so that you could serve documents. There was like this whole like investigative team that was like like narrowed it down to the city and then like narrowed it down to like what grocery store he frequents. Then they would like stand in the grocery store waiting for him to get groceries and then like try to serve him the documents, but they never could. There was like one time that like one of the investigators saw someone who thought it was him in the grocery store but didn't think it was, and it turned out it actually was, and then like didn't see him for like months and months after, and they were like beating themselves up over it.
Can you imagine? That was him. You blew it. The fuck. God damn it, we gotta wait another month in the process.
Yeah, it sucks. So I get like as long as they can never give you the papers, they're not suing you yet.
Whether or not that can be used at the trial, yeah, I don't know. I mean, because that would clearly be like, Your Honor, this person was literally evading any form of accountability. Like, he was running from us because he knew what was going on. You don't, I don't know. And according to all his, like, sound bites before he got this paper served, he was like, oh, yeah, I'm with that. Hit me with that $1 billion. They're just trying to fucking pump me. I'm ready. I have receipts. They don't want to know. They don't want to see me in court. Actually, you know what? I would like that because I would like to go to court and bring out all this evidence. Cut to you running the fuck away constantly. Yeah,
okay. Tire squealing.
To be like, yeah. Driver, get the doors out of it. Get the documents out of the door. Like, come on.
With the Giuliani thing, who is your pick to direct this movie?
Oh, jeez.
I think like a Guy Ritchie kind of Snatch type, you know, keep it upbeat with some good music.
Or you could do like whoever directed the latest Tom and Jerry cartoon that's coming out on. It's very like just...
Three directors, one story. The Giuliani evading the summons story.
I do. It's so great the way this clashes with he and Mike Lindell just being like, yes, finally, you're going to bring the lawsuit. You've walked right into my trap because now we'll really find out the real case that I've been doing behind the scenes.
It's so whack. It's just like, you know, like when people lie and they're like, yeah, you'll see. Yeah, you'll see. And you're like, yeah, we will, motherfucker. We will see. And right now, it's like that interim period where you can bluff that you have the proof until you have to actually put the cards down. You know, it's like poker, baby. But now he's crying, you know, on TV. He's like, I've lost $65 million in revenue.
Who, Mike Lindell?
Yes. This was 6 hours ago. This headline just came out. He says election fraud claims have cost him $65 million in revenue. I mean, whatever that means to him, fine. But like, but where's all this energy, Mr. Patriot Hero?
The weirdly, like the case against him that Dominion is bringing is like, They kind of framed it as like he was doing all of this to make money, which I don't know why they did that, because even if he's losing money by claiming this, it's still like not good. I guess maybe it's a matter of like whether he actually believes it.
Yeah, and probably what they can prove.
Like, yeah, that sounds hard to incentive. Prove, of course.
Right.
Because like you have to probably prove, like for Giuliani, Powell, Trump, it's easy to know what the incentive is. Like they're being paid to do this by Trump, who's the main beneficiary of the lie. Whereas like he, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a fucking lawyer, so I'm just going to shut up. But I wonder if that's partly like they can actually prove like this connection of like he's doing this, like he's participating in this because there's something in it for him to continue right. to defame the company.
But that doesn't need to be like a straightforward, it's a immediate rise in sales. Like that's what seems questionable to me, that they like made it, that they made it contingent on that, because it could easily just be he's trying to get a authoritarian coup with his best friend as the Führer. What more do you need for like incentive?
You're talking like millennial court.
Right.
Like, that's why we should be able to prove, like, hey, my honor, look, this dude, like Jack just said, his best friend is going to be the Führer and he wanted a front row seat. That's what the fuck the deal was.
Right.
But yeah,
it does seem outdated to me that we still need to like play tag with people who are being sued instead of like,
yeah, that there is a tag clause in right. being held to account for your crimes.
Right. Like, couldn't you just like get outside of their house and blare through like a sound system? Like, it just right. seems like there's plenty of ways you could make it unavoidable.
This is
them.
Why I'm super excited to get sued. It's because right. I can just parkour away and I'm...
Oh! That'd be a sick scene with Rudy great. Does parkour, but like you're his stunt double, and they cut to Rudy's like, oh shit, they got me. And you're like, oh shit, Rudy.
Garrison, who's your pick? I don't think we got your pick for the
We could get the guy who did Ocean's 11, I think would make Soderbergh. Like a pretty would yeah. like make like a pretty funny movie based on that. Like it wouldn't be good, but it'd be like funny to watch.
Yeah.
I right. think. Like, I don't know, because I think he'll take it overly seriously in some ways, and it'll just turn into kind of being accidentally campy.
Yeah, yeah.
What was that one, like, French parkour film? Oh, D13?
Yeah, District 13, yeah.
Yeah, that's who the director should be for this
I forget who directed that, but the main star of that was the guy that people credit for being the inventor of parkour, David Bell.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a Luc Besson movie?
Oh.
I didn't even know that.
All right, I didn't know that either.
It's okay. The French version's better than the American adaption. So there you,
yeah,
there,
right,
there
right.
you go.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, that's what I meant. The French version.
Yeah.
Starring Rudy Giuliani.
Now starring Rudy Giuliani, yes.
I feel like that's one of those art forms or, you know, skills that you can't beat just watching somebody do it in a YouTube video. Because, like, with Hollywood, it's too easy to... be like, oh, that was probably special effects or whatever. It's like street magic. It's like making a movie about street magic. You're like, yeah, well, yeah. that could have been an in-camera special effect.
Well, yeah. It's funny because like that, I remember, you know, back in my day in the late 90s, they used to, like, it was like, they would call that shit freestyle walking.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the beginning of just like wilding out, like with your feet and just like doing some weird shit. And I was like that. I remember my friend Chris, we would always laugh and be like, yo, freestyle walking.
We had
like
the jump same off. Bit.
It's just so stupid.
Funny.
Yeah. Kamikaze walking. That's yeah. why we would do shit like that. And then you're like, then like 20 years later, you're like, oh shit, they did that. Like, they figured it out.
But it was based off, there was like a MTV like segment
yeah.
where they were like, and these
MTV
guys
unfiltered.
Known as freestyle walkers. But they weren't even doing parkour. They would just like jump off a bench and do a spin. It was
so
basically
yeah.
like.
It's like. It's
It was a
it's
prank.
Like, it's like
yeah.
the office parkour that's tormented me.
Yeah.
For every day of my life now. Yeah. But people just like yell at me when I. Yeah.
freestyle walking.
Dude, freestyle walking.
All right.
Because then it was soaping before that.
What?
Remember soaping. The shoes soaps that had the grind plate? It had a grind plate
oh,
the on
little,
the sole of
roller
the shoes.
Things?
No, it didn't have a. It didn't have wheels on the sole.
Oh,
plate,
I see what you're saying.
There
yeah,
was
yeah.
a like by the arch. Smooth there was thing. Like a grind plate, so you could just hit a fucking 10 stair in your skate shoes on your feet.
That right. sounds.
And I remember
cool,
my
actually.
Boy Jeff just fucking shattered his clavicle, like fucking oh, yeah. on a, trying to bust it like a 16 stair. And I remember like we were like 12 or 13 at the time. And like the big thing we teased him about was like, yo, we heard your mom had to help you pee because like you couldn't use your arms.
And dork.
Toxic. Yeah. Oh, your mom's a nurse. Cool.
Real cool, dude. That really seems like one of those things that's so irresponsible of them to sell that they would have to like come up with a fake use, like why the thing is on there, because like sliding down banisters on your feet, like for right. 60, that doesn't seem like it should be legal. Anyways, shout out to the Nike soaps. Probably wasn't Nike.
No, they were they were their own company.
Nice. Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah. Shout out to them. All right. And let's actually take a quick break and we'll come back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and it's been covered in the media recently that America just crossed the 500,000 people lost to COVID-19 milestone. Obviously, very grim milestone. But Miles, you were pointing out that it's worth looking within the statistics.
Yeah, just to keep reminding people, you know, because I think everybody has different kinds of cultural, socioeconomic, ethnic blind spots, probably to like what the pandemic might look like to your community, your city, whatever, your friend group. And the, you know, when you look at the figures, obviously we've talked a lot about, you know, the fact that people of color have really been the, you know, the biggest group that's been disproportionately affected by the virus in terms of death. And when you look at some of these statistics that were put together just about a week ago, so right before we got to 500,000, you look at just some of like the death per 100,000 statistics, and it's really, it's grim, right? One in 475 Indigenous Americans has died. So that's 210 deaths per 100,000. One in 645 Black Americans has died. That's 155 per 100,000. Like, it takes a second, like when you start looking at who is making up the country demographically, numerically, and then what, who's, you know, to use the term grimly, like overperforming based on the actual share of people who are in the population, it's people of color who are really looking at death rates that are in the multiples of their white counterparts. Black Americans die at twice the rate of their white counterparts. Indigenous people, 2.2 times. Latinx, 2.4 times. And, you know, as we look around and we talk about, oh, the numbers are going down and that's good. And like the UK is talking about maybe they're going to be open by June 21st and all this shit. And I see all the memes going up on UK Twitter. But, you know, in this country too, like we're also dealing again, not with just how this is disproportionately impacting people of color, like in terms of when you get infected, but even with how we're distributing the care and the vaccinations. White Americans accounted for 65% of the number of people who have been fully vaccinated. Just over 5% who have received two doses are Black. Jesus and Christ. A lot of it is too, we have really fucked up ways of measuring these demographics. Like a Black life expectancy isn't typically going to 75. So by saying, oh, people over this age can get access, you are already eliminating an entire group of people because of the negligent way our healthcare system works, our lack of social safety nets and things like that. So it's already like it's insidious in even how we're distributing the vaccine because like this is the age that we're targeting. It's like, but break it down demographically. Like there's high risk groups in their 60s for Black people that should be getting this, who are just as in need of this as people over 75. So, you know, all this to say, like, as the news focus and things change and things like that, we have to really be able to keep this at the front of our mind because, yes, while the actual pandemic response itself was just disastrous, it's again underlining this really violent way of treatment that we are subjecting people of color to. It's not just because, oh, well, maybe there's something about people who aren't white, the virus affects them differently. That's not the fucking case. It's because we aren't taking care of people. And look at some of the maps where people are getting vaccinated. Like in LA, like South LA, where a lot of people, majority of people, that area is a majority of people of color, there's barely any vaccinations getting out there. Lancaster, right. Fucking barely. And it's not a fucking mistake, or I'm sure there's a way to have these benign explanations, but to not actually put that at the forefront, say we have to actually meet people where they are and when they need it to be safe and address this, you know, we're fucking up. But yeah,
it's every facet of American culture. Like anytime there's a stress test, anytime you look at any facet of American culture, American medicine, like just the, you know, down to who gets prescribed painkillers, like that is a thing that is racist. I mean, it's just when we're trying to address systemic and racial inequality without acknowledging that the thing we're trying to address it with is racist and white supremacist. It doesn't work. You can't.
It's like, but medical
the
people
broken
said that,
tool with a broken tool.
Right. If it's over 75, it needs to be there. But you know, you have to be a little more, I guess, analytical, because there's many health experts that are like, well, that's only going to help mostly white people, and the numbers.
It's not a very intersectional approach at all. It's overwhelming and hard to fathom.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's America's at the intersection of fucking supply and demand.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Let's talk about Joe Biden real quick. I just like to check in with where he's coming down on policies that affect Americans. It was Janet Yellen recently reported that in terms of how they're going to pay for various programs to help America get back after the pandemic. She said they're pursuing corporate tax and capital gains taxes. She's open to discussing a wealth tax, but Biden is not. Then also just opened his first detention facility for immigrant children. So all the people who were like, finally, Biden won and I can now celebrate because there will no longer be children in cages.
That's they're unaccompanied minors in overflow facilities is what people in my Twitter replies are saying. Because I have an outrageous amount of capital L liberal followers because of my reporting last summer. And every time I bring up stuff about Biden, I get tens or dozens and dozens of people being like, oh, but it's the first 3 months, or oh, but he's still dealing with the mess Trump left over, or oh, well, it's different because X, Y, and Z. And it's like they're incapable of criticizing Biden because, I don't know, it's a weird thing.
Yeah,
it's so
I think because they're centering themselves when they defend Joe Biden. You know what I mean? They're trying to, because it doesn't really bother them. And the fact that it's bothering other people now, it's like, well, should it? Well, no, but it's only. And then now you're just hearing their rationalizations to why they aren't outraged, because really they should just be able to say, just dial it back objectively. Do we still want to put kids in cages? Do we not want to reunite people?
Right.
Whether or not no matter who's the president, if that's the case, then why can't we demand that happens, that we are reuniting families? And then, but here's the thing, Joe Biden, he's really. They did a good move where, you know, there was that deportation freeze that was blocked by a conservative judge.
Yeah.
And they said, well, the judge blocked it. That's, so what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Well, then, motherfucker, you're the president. Start figuring some shit out. Start cracking some skulls. The fuck
that's
are you talking
the thing.
About?
It's like, I was angry tweeting about that for a while. And I'm like I've got, you know, hundreds of people at this point being like, oh, well, one conservative said no. I guess we can't do anything else. We tried. Like, no, you're the president's the most powerful man in the country, arguably. If ICE isn't listening, and there's a judge blocking this, then start just dismantling ICE. You can do things. You're the most power, have the most political power than anyone else in the country, possibly the world. You're gonna let one conservative judge stop you? No, it's just because you don't want to put in the work.
One judge and fucking Joe Manchin are fucking fucking everything up, because suddenly the man from West Virginia, he's the stunt queen of the Senate. And he's like, oh, well, now my vote is really the deciding thing. So let me fucking fuck around with the OMB nominations, or maybe Deb Haaland for the interior, who absolutely should be running the interior. But he's trying to make noise like, oh, I don't know about that. Like, get the fuck out of here, because now he's found a way to be the, you know, a little bit of a power broker and shit, and it's all getting fucked up.
I mean, I think this also plays into how, like, the capital D Democratic, you know, voters and party members are, like, so terrified of any criticism of the Democratic Party. Like, always, it's like, you know, oh, we can't criticize people right now because it's going to affect the midterms. And, oh, after the midterms, we can't criticize anyone because it's going to affect the general. It's like they can never take any criticism of the candidates because they feel like it's just an attack wholly on their idea of, like, progressiveness.
Right.
Even when the criticism is coming from further left, just because they feel like any of it is, it's almost like they feel like the party is so fragile that under any criticism they'll fall apart and the conservatives are going
to
get in.
It's their own egos that are so fragile and will fall apart at any criticism. Right. Because and the people on the outside aren't looking at it like that. That's Beltway thinking. That's Hill thinking of like, yeah, you can't, don't say this about them. Da, 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 da. Because most people aren't like wonky enough to understand the optics arguments or the polling to see like why one thing doesn't work. When most people think like, I'm seeing that a majority of people want Medicare for all. I'm seeing a majority of people want an aggressive Green New Deal or path to renewable energy. And they just can't really summon the energy to be like, wow, a majority of Americans are on this side. Let's now take that and march forth and do good, rather than, you know, this whole other thing of being afraid of whatever criticisms are going to come out and then immediately water down legislation that helps no one or just the people that you want to help specifically.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm so frustrated. I've lost at this point probably thousands of Twitter followers because I'm just like rage tweeting about how Biden's not doing anything. And I have all these like, you know, these people with like Biden Kamala usernames getting all mad at me. And I'm like, I don't care. Like,
yeah,
you have tons of like anti-Trump stuff in your bio. And now you're the one, quote unquote, defending these, you know, unoccupied minors in overflow facilities. Like, no, like you're too offended to call it kids in cages now that we have a blue person in office. Come on.
Yeah. Well, you know, extremely that's that blue MAGA thinking. That's just fucking the same shit. It's like, nope, fucking tunnel vision. Nothing is wrong. But yeah, it's like rather than getting mad at the people who have the awareness and analytical skills to be like, this is not what he said he would do. This is not good objectively for children. Send your outrage to the people that are keeping the kids in the cages. Why are you getting mad at the people who are making you realize that the guy who's in office, who most people are like, he's not going to do any of this shit, that it's turning out to be true. Start advocating for the people that if you really give a fuck.
Yeah, but then they have to pause brunch.
Yeah,
right. And brunch is so tasty. But yeah, like I tweeted about the fucking detention facility today, and you know one of the replies from a person with a blue flag in their Twitter name is, the kids in cages thing was because they're using old Walmarts to build cages and house large groups of children. Here we have modular buildings used as schools. Are there cages, or are they just places where people get processed? I need more information. Terrible.
How about this? Cage or not, detained children.
As you're looking at like fucking like shipping containers with like bars on the windows. Like that's what the picture, like really
modular.
You're not going to call it a cage?
All I hear when you say shipping containers, modular, sir.
No,
that is modular.
It's a modular place that's like a school.
Right.
These are cages or facilities. These are tiny prisons from this company that does tiny houses from the TLC show. And they're a great little house. It's like, what the fuck? Why are you going to bend your mind into saying, because let's distill it down to the real argument, which is children should not be detained and separated from their parents.
And people shouldn't be detained and separated for moving to a different country.
I get the feeling, like the feeling of, okay, but Republicans are so much worse. And like strategically, if we're criticizing the Democrats, then, you know, the Republicans are going to win the next thing. But like, it's really starting to look like the thing they object to about the Republicans is less policy and more like the wording around
it's more
it,
optics,
that they called
yeah.
it. Yeah, it's optics and like that they don't want to have that put in their face, that's what goes on. They want a smooth, like a cool looking president who does the things that make their life possible behind the scenes so they don't have to think about it. Like that's the thing that I feel like they're not admitting to themselves.
Yeah, I mean, like I've seen as many tweets as there are about like, you know, immigrants and ICE stuff that I get from my like more, you know, liberal center followers. It's same thing for like people being like expressing like relief that they don't feel obligated to check what he's tweeted today. It's like, he's like it's like an optics thing, right? It's like they don't want someone who looks rude, but they don't really care about what's actually happening. It's like it's what like the facade is like, or what, you know, the optics are to themselves and their friends. It's like, it's, you know, it's like the respectability politics is almost more important than actual policy.
Or it's like someone who like talks shit about veganism, but like they couldn't for a second look at a meat processing facility.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, fuck veganism. Are you serious? Meat all fucking day. Don't show me what happened. Meat's fucking bad. Oh, fuck.
Right.
Like, get the fuck out. Like, you know, just fucking deal. Look at the shit in its eye and then look at reality and then do what you got to do. Or just, you know, start maybe have a little bit of self-awareness. I'm like, am I tricking myself a bit to protect myself from maybe thinking a little more critically?
I mean, and like new things, you know, a lot of these like new things are always uncomfortable, right? and it's much easier to kind of ignore things and just feel comfortable, right? Like, I wish I could, I mean, sometimes I wish I could just, like, disengage from everything and just, you know, live like a regular person, because, you know, I assume it's similar to you, how you're, like, so in tuned with all current events and all the horrible news, and it can be overwhelming and depressing, and it'd be nice if you could just, you know, fuck off into the forest and
fuck
not have any
brunch.
And fuck off to brunch and just not have to look at, like, not have to look at this stuff. Just, like, be completely isolated, right? So, like, part of that is attractive. But, you know, that's only possible if you come from a place of privilege. Because if you aren't privileged, you can't do that.
Right.
So, you know, it should be people's obligation to learn about these new things and learn about these other solutions, even if they seem uncomfortable. Because you have the ability to ignore them, but a lot of other people don't, because it's their everyday life.
Yeah.
Let's move on real quick to a story about words actually mattering, because first of all, that's something that we were talking about, I think, on yesterday's episode, that, you know, the connection between the word Kung Flu being used by Donald Trump a year ago and the current rash of, like, hate crimes against elderly Asian and Asian American people. People are pushing back, specifically the Cherokee Nation Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin Jr. is pushing back on Jeep to retire their Cherokee line of SUVs for what should be obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. The original Jeep Cherokee was introduced in 1974, so it's not like it hails from turn, like, of the century. Yeah.
Like our wagon times.
That's right. Like, basically as old as my parents.
Right. that's crazy, but yeah, your parents.
Yeah, man, we're cool grandparents.
but so Jeep issued a statement about how their vehicle names have been carefully chosen and nurtured over the years to honor and celebrate Native American people for their nobility, prowess, and pride.
Oh.
But they're open to having a dialogue with Hoskin, which I'm sure would be in no way, you know, demoralizing and soul draining. So JM, our writer, pointed out that Jeep already retired the Cherokee branding and then brought it back in 2002. They were like, okay, this is a bad look, in 2002, and changed the name to...
That was the year I was born!
Is it really?
Yes. I'm a baby. Okay,
you
anyway.
Are a baby. But in 2002, they changed the name to the Jeep Liberty, but then 2014, they went back to Cherokee.
I didn't know this, and that's wild.
Yes, so, like... The reason that their statement is, we want to be politically correct and we don't want to offend anybody. However, we're really opposed to stereotypes. But if you have a name that offends nobody, then you end up with a forgettable brand, is what Jeep
Jesus
said.
Christ.
Which
oh my
is,
God.
They what? Are, first of all, the name Liberty. Like, it's
pretty, still cringy. Still
so bad. It's like they're blaming us for the fact that they came up with a name that sounds like they were trying to rename French fries during the Iraq War. Like,
right.
And it just, like, they're like, well, that wasn't successful. Therefore, we have to go back to a explicitly racist name.
What the fuck? They're so, I mean, whatever. Like, again, this is what America looks like now. Like,
yeah.
As like most Americans are, you know, are a little more informed than they were, like, from the maybe 70s consumer base.
Right.
Like, a lot of shit starts being like, oh God, like, we got to get rid of all the sports teams, so many cars. And there's just, like, but then the thinking with these people that are behind them are like, well, what do you want me to do? The non-racist thing didn't sell.
Right. Exactly.
What?
Their decision to go back to the Cherokee after the Liberty failed was based on focus group testing. So it's that whole, yeah, like you said, it's all about the numbers.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me that they, yeah, that's actually not shocking.
They also used to sell a Comanche and unsubtly a Comanche Eliminator.
Oh my God.
With ads featuring white people dressed like cowboys.
Jesus Christ.
And there's a like broad history of this in cars. Pontiac is named after a real life Ottawa chief. Sold their cars using ads featuring tiny feathered cartoon Indian braves, in quotes. That was their words. Working the cylinder in the engine like miniature slaves, making your car go faster. Yeah. So that's...
This is so much worse than I thought. Wow.
Yeah.
That this fucking image is... I mean, you know, but this is the same shit as like any kind of, you know, blackface.
Yeah.
Like Sambo type imagery of just straight up like, look at these little colored people working their butts off for us to make life easy. Aunt Jemima pancake syrup.
Right.
It's like the same shit. Ugh.
Yeah. And we just got rid of Aunt Jemima.
Like, what are they going to call? I mean, where is this going to end?
They're going to keep calling it. No.
Yeah.
Not unless Zeitgang gets something done. Out there,
this podcast number 250 on the charts. You can't even find us on the charts in the news category. We got this, y'all. We
got it.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, what the fuck? You'd hope, at the very least, right? They could just begin to make amends. Be like, you know what? Here's $70 billion.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. If you're gonna like use it, like, what the
not
least
not to
offer.
Say that you can continue to,
right?
But you that would be a first step to people being like, yo, fuck all y'all forever. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, not to say that we weren't looking at this same brand over and over and over again, but damn.
But the looking at it over and over and over again and it being made to seem normal and acceptable is right. The problem, right? And it implicates us in their, you know, in that by like what you just said, that thought process is like how this shit works and like why it's so toxic. Is like, it's like, well, you guys are cool with it, so
right. You weren't saying nothing. Oh, now you want to make it hot? Okay, all right, woke warriors suddenly.
right.
But yeah, I mean, that's the hardest shit. Even like when you look at like in like real estate, trying people to being like, yo, you can't say master bedroom, right? You know what I mean, say primary, right? You know I mean, you got to get rid of this like master slave, you know, fucking binary or relationship, even just like, oh, the master bedroom, you know. It's just a lot of things. It's funny too, because there's a lot of people who will have, you see like these topics come up where they're like, well, it doesn't matter. It's not, I'm not saying I'm a slave master, or right. Like, I'm not saying I'm against indigenous people, but it's like, but yeah, that's where you have to say, you won't die, right? If you can change the way you speak.
Right.
Right. You won't die. Right. Because that would be a concern. If you died because you could no longer say master bedroom, then maybe we could have a little conversation here. But if it's just purely about changing, you know, thinking for 2 seconds before you speak, then just that's what we owe it to each other to begin. Right. That's how we start building the blocks to something that feels a little more equitable.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, part of that is I think when, at least in my experience, we're talking to like family and stuff about that, people like, assume like once you bring stuff up they get defensive in a weird way because they assume like you're like implying that they're like some, you know, racist monster, and they feel like it's weird because like it plays into like the whole white fragility thing, which I feel like sometimes is the way people talk about that is usually kind of not always helpful actually, but there is actually in this instance, yeah, that's very much what that kind of is that you're being asked to do this thing that you felt was like this, you felt this was just so normal and regular and you put no thought into it. And now looking back, you're like scared to be like accused or like scared to be like implied to have, you know, not so great views. And you want to, and you, so you push back on that. It has almost like a backfire effect where like they want to prove so much. So they have to like convince themselves that no, it's actually fine to say this thing. It doesn't actually mean anything. Then it gets turned into this
right, and then you just want to be like,
forth.
I almost want to just take people like them. Oh, it's okay. That's okay. Right. That's all right. I know you feel like you're being attacked right now because I said you shouldn't say master bedroom, and it seems so innocuous. But I'm telling you, the reason why is because it's evoking slavery. Okay, we don't want to do you agree slavery is wrong, right? Yes, okay. I'm not mad that you said that, baby. This is how we learn.
Yeah.
Somebody has to tell you. And then what you do is you say, okay, let me hear you. Let me get some knowledge. Let me process that. Okay, I do agree slavery bad. I do agree that I don't want to offend people, certainly not any black people I'm around, especially by being careless with saying things like this. Okay, so since I do agree with those things, now the ask is just change the vocab a little bit.
Yeah,
that's all. Nobody's gonna fucking smash you up. I know, and I think that's the thing is I think that's just how we work as people, though. Like, we have as human beings, we have the greatest capacity to overblow a potential scenario in our minds.
Yeah.
Where, like, you go, oh, this shit is going to happen, and that's going to lead to this, and this is going to happen, and I'm going to go outside, and people are going to scream at me and throw garbage at me.
Right.
You know, like, we all have versions of blowing things out of proportion or making them a lot scarier before we get or actually enter the confrontation, the interaction, whatever, the event. And it's always not as bad as we think. It's never as bad as we think. And I think that's part of the thing is a lot of we get, well, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to say ableist language. I'm not, this is not how I think. But then you have to calm down and say, and be like, right, all I got to do is just check a couple ways I'm describing things or how I was just lazily expressing something. And in fact, it forces you to actually be a little more creative with how you speak. Like, in a way, it's like kind of you will evolve for the better.
Yeah, and you're gaining more compassion. You're getting more. You're being able to empathize with other people's experiences.
But I'm not racist. It's like, okay, whoa, it's okay.
Yeah,
that's not it. That's not what we're saying. Can you move forward? That's
and
all.
Have compassion for yourself. Like a lot of people fucked up in the same way. It's not. You don't have to freak out and assume that makes you a worse person.
And all of us will continue to fuck up.
Yeah.
As people, not just with how we use language, just even in our lives, how we interact with our loved ones and everything. Like, we're not fucking perfect, but overall, like, even in those moments, you really have to be able to be kind enough to yourself to say, it's like, be your own, you know, if you have that grandparent you had a good relationship with, be like, it's okay, baby, don't worry.
Right.
Don't worry. It's going to be okay. That's you got to tell yourself. Even if when it feels bad, it's not going to be that bad.
Well, Garrison, it has been a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist, man. Where can people find you and follow you?
I guess mainly would be probably on Twitter is where I do some work, various kind of extremist reporting. I've also helped write a few things for Bellingcat, which is an online investigative website. But on Twitter, I'm at HungryBowtie. You can also check out a podcast that I helped make called Uprising, A Guide from Portland. I worked on with some other really great people, including Robert Evans from Behind the Bastards. And then I guess also I've written and hosted a few episodes of Behind the Bastards.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can check those out on wherever you get your podcasts.
What was the third wave one called? It was like something about creating little Nazis.
It was like the class that made 200 child Nazis.
Yeah. People,
if you want to learn how a school teacher accidentally made 200 Nazi children over the course of 5 days, check out the Behind the Bastards feed.
Somebody needs to option that episode, turn it into a movie. Because I know they've tried to make movies out of it, but they've all fucked up every single one of them. And that lays out a really good, like, kind of...
Yeah,
story of it.
They made like a bad TV movie in the 80s, and then they made a German film about a decade ago. That's actually not terrible, but Americans aren't going to watch a German film.
Right. Exactly.
So it's it could get turned into a good movie if people knew how to make it.
Yeah. Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
I did see a tweet a few days ago that was a screenshot of a review of Princess Mononoke. That was pretty good. It says, if I met a girl who was raised by wolves and hated me, I would also do a bunch of stupid shit to impress her, which I feel is pretty good.
Right.
I would do a lot of things to impress wolf girls or wolf boys or wolf people.
I mean, that's one of those things. Like, I don't know how I'm gonna get on their radar.
Right.
I just spend.
What do I do?
I'm just trying to spend more time in the forest. That's been right. my kind of goal for 2021 is just trying to spend more time
nature,
in the forest in Oregon, just because it's just much healthier for my mental state.
Such great Hell forest yeah. up there.
It's good.
Some of the best up there, up there.
Oh, yeah. Top five forest.
Top five forest, Jack, go.
Oh, man. Not L.A., I'll tell you that much. There's a lot of scrub brush out here, man.
Yeah. yeah, and the scrub brush ain't bad either.
Hey. Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, my God. Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. Also, the other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé. We're talking about 90 Day Fiancé. Tweet I like, this one, shout out to Noah Goddard, who tagged me, said, I thought you would find this funny. And in fact, Noah, I did. Thank you, because I'm not really on the Twitter too much, again, for mental health reasons, so I can continue to bring you all the laughs every day. This is from at Merman underscore Melville, Heinz Baked Jeans. And the tweet is, kind of a bummer to have been born at the very end of the fuck around century just to live the rest of my life in the find out century.
Welcome to the find out century.
Yeah.
Hey,
at least we got to live a little bit.
Yeah.
In the fuck around century. You know, I grew up in the fuck around century, so.
Yeah. Sorry, Garrison.
Good for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was funny. I'm like, I was just thinking, like, yo, I had peak awareness at not during 9/11.
Right.
You weren't even born yet.
I was not born yet.
Shout out to you, though. Jesus. I was thinking about you even then.
That's good.
Some tweets I've been enjoying. At the baddest Mitch tweeted, the person who invented the baby pacifier must have been at wit's end. Just like the idea of like somebody just being like, just stick that shit in their mouth. Shut the fuck up.
Fine, this.
Oh, right. And Louisa at Louisa K8 tweeted, would be a huge power move for Kanye to wheel out the Robert Kardashian hologram as his divorce lawyer. And you can find me on Twitter, @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about, as well as a song that Miles recommends you listen to. Miles, what is today's recommendation?
We're talking about instrumental music. Now, this is a little bit different than what Garrison is talking about. Like, I know there's just solid instrumental music, fantastic instrumental music, producers who would go out their minds making beats and wonderful compositions with real instruments. But there's also this thing in Japan, and it's like it's all over, but in Japanese, there's a genre we call BGM, background music, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's just shit that plays that is, it's not really meant to get too much of your attention. It's just there to be a fucking, like, a wallpaper. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I listen to a couple different playlists, like one's just like a coffee lounge, and it's just a little piano, a little samba, a little three-piece thing, and the tracks are nice, they're easy, they don't distract, and if you have like a little speaker or something, play that shit all day, and I'm telling you, it will raise your mood. So this is a track from the album Coffee Lounge from the artist Cafe Music BGM channel on Spotify, and this track is called Wild Steam, okay? And this is just some straight BGM background music. Like back in the day in Japanese hotel rooms, they used to have like built-in radios in the nightstands that were between like a twin bed type room, and there would be a button or a knob that said BGM.
Oh,
so
really?
You could just literally crank up your BGM up or down just for the vibes. It was never really like good music. It was just vibes, you know, and not like reggae vibes, like straight up piano jazz vibes, but I love it.
So that's what I
check
love.
Check this one out.
Yeah.
All right. We suggest you go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
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 Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.